The opinions expressed in the following are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the producers and the Six Talk Podcast Network. Also, the following contains mature material and mild language, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Discretion is advised.
This is the Anime Roundtable Canada, presented by Anime North. You can contact us via email, animeroundtable@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Anime Roundtable, and on the web, animeroundtable.com. Well, we've gone from a couple of different extremes this month. First of all, we at least met quota after doing nothing last month. That's the good news. Just that the first taping we had, that space heater chat we did last week, or a couple weeks ago now, at the very least, we... You know, that was an early morning thing. Perhaps Kevin's still recovering. Now we're taping as I get back from work late night. And not everyone can make it tonight. Kevin made it again, though. Thanks for making it. And James joins us again. Oh, well, it's good to hear from you, James.
Yes, I'm here in a sense.
Yeah, well, he's around. So, but it is, well, we organized this last second again. And so Amy and Mo couldn't make it tonight, and we'll hear from them, of course, in the future. But we want to get in at least a regular episode in before the month was out and the Christmas holiday and New Year holiday season begins. Well, technically, well, in according to Rogers, it began today, I guess, with CHFI going all Christmas music on us. But yeah, we're a month away from Christmas and New Year's, roughly. So, you know, one of those things. Well, the other thing is, as I said, this is the second recording of November. We are meeting quota. James didn't know, though, we actually did do a space heater chat. It was last second, though, James. Sorry about that. And it was early on Sunday morning. So James wanted to get up to speed as to what was on it. Weren't you curious just a little bit, James?
Well, you did give me the calls notes, but I probably wouldn't have been in the right mind to help you guys out that
night. Yeah, that's part of it. And we just wanted to get settled in because it had been a good month since we had recorded. And I mentioned in the... In that episode, by the way, James, I fell ill again in October, just for reference. So, yeah, that's the excuse. It's not a great one, but nonetheless. But in it, we talked a little esports with the end of Overwatch League. And just a quick update, the world's final for League of Legends goes a little later. I think sometime this weekend, but I forgot. But it's in Seoul, so I forgot the exact time. But that's coming up, and that pretty much ends the season of champions for the major esports. And by the way, it was confirmed that that Overwatch League, as we know it, as with the franchise system, is dead as of last week. Activision Blizzard officially announced that, and we'll take some guesses as to where Overwatch esports will go. The belief is it'll go into a more open system, and I guess we'll. You know, when more is known, that's worth talking about. But the belief is there's constant reports that the group that runs Dota and CSGO's esports operations could be contracted for Overwatch. So that might be a sense of give you an idea of where that'll eventually go. But that's another story for another time.
And then I guess it depends on what Microsoft's thoughts are on that as well. Since
They are now
the owners, right?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And I guess we'll wait to see what that next step is, or when we're in a better frame of mind to talk about it at a little bit more at length. And then we also talked quite a bit about Johnny's Associates. At the time we recorded, a few more things that happened in that story. And that's a really, really disturbing story. Now that I've seen the documentary and heard various things. But yeah, that's most of what we talked about, though, a couple weeks ago, James.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, there's been a lot of other stuff that has come up in the last week. I think I've already thought of a title for this episode.
What is it?
Let's call this episode As the Crunchy Rolls.
Boo, you suck!
Oh my god.
I thought it was something level like for the fans.
Huh?
That's James cool. level of pun.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like it. What do you think? We're going to go. You know I'm going to go with it anyway. Oh,
C+.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Remind me, though, the sad part is after all the stuff we've recorded and I've put up, nothing has been updated, not the socials, not the website. Yeah, it's a mess right now.
Well, first you have to find a social network to be on.
Yeah, well, I'm not totally sure it's always worth it. So, that tells you how badly behind we are. But hey, we'll just soldier through as best we could.
So one thing I actually wanted to ask, did any of you partake in the semi-annual Indigo sale where they actually allow manga to be discounted?
Yeah, no, I created my list and went through and put some orders in.
Okay, for me, it's... Well, I let my Plum Plus membership expire some time ago. I haven't renewed it, and I haven't really taken a look. There hasn't really been anything that has caught my attention lately. So, yeah.
I made two small orders. I finally got the last Meizu Ikkoku Omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
Got the latest Skip Beat.
I think Dave Merrill actually put a picture of having some of the Meizu Ikkoku stuff too.
I also plugged in some holes in my collection, so picked up the missing volume of Two Lover that I needed, because those got reprinted a few months back, and then got the last three volumes of Sainkoku, Story of Sainkoku, and got a couple more volumes of Oku the Inner Chambers, the last three volumes of After School Charisma, and made some pre-orders too. So I pre-ordered the next Skip Beat, the new Kimi ni Todoke spinoff that's finally being released by Viz, and Neighborhood Story by Ayazawa, or a Gokinjo Monogatari, which you might know of.
I'll probably just have to jog my memory a bit later. Okay,
it's basically some of those characters in Neighborhood Story will appear in Paradise Kiss.
Okay.
But they're not the main characters in that later series.
Okay. As I said, for me, it's I let's just say I have to, there's nothing really has my attention at this point. It's just that I've been so admittedly busy with other stuff. So it's just I have not had a chance to look, and you know how I can be sometimes, especially since I'm just getting back from work tonight as we're taping this. So, but on the topic of manga, and puns aside, yeah, well, a lot of what we wanted to talk about tonight was the whole Crunchyroll stuff. Lots of stuff has happened with Crunchyroll over the last How many weeks? Well,
pretty much the whole month.
Yeah.
They've had some sort of fire to put out on one part of their site, whether it was the anime side, the retail side, and everything else in between.
Well, where do you want to start? I mean, this is a bit of a list here. So where do you want to start tonight, James? Because I know we have you on, because I know you've kept up with it probably the most out of the bunch of us, although I know Kevin has too. So where do you want to start with this whole thing?
I guess we could start with them and Right Stuff merging, because we had spoken about that, I think, the last time. And now we've seen how this is all played out, which is kind of how we expected it. It's a mess, to put it lightly, and there's still things happening on the Crunchyroll storefront that are just beyond bizarre even now. Like, at the moment, for example, one of the promises was, I think it was like October 25th or whatever, they talked about Canada and US, our orders or whatever from Right Stuff would be merged with Crunchyroll and stuff like that. And the way they worded it, it sounded like it would be the back end and the consumer side would be able to see it. That's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. Now, what we found out, and funny enough, we found out through the Dirty Pair Kickstarter, because poor Judy, the producer for that, in an update earlier this week said, oh, everything, you should be able to see it on Crunchyroll and whatever, and supposedly somewhere in the company, whoever told her that kind of gave her not the full picture, because when everyone's like, well, we can't see anything, and she went back and she said, well, they told me, well, actually what we mean is everything on the back end is moved over from Right Stuff to Crunchyroll, but not on the consumer side. And over the course of the month, at one point on the Crunchyroll store, they had like a ribbon that sent you back to Right Stuff. And today, they added, when you go to your little icon below your My Orders, you have Right Stuff order status that sends you back to the Right Stuff website, which I'm doing right now, and it sends you to the old login page. You go into the login page, and it goes to your orders and stuff like that, like the old Right Stuff order page and stuff like that. So I feel like we're going to be going that way for a long while, but what's even more,
it just sounds like it's almost in circles sometimes.
But what's even more funny is this. So I made my first ever order on the Crunchyroll store ever.
Oh, you did?
I did. And it was at the start of the holiday sale or whatever they want to call it.
Are you still getting free shipping though?
No. So there is no free shipping for Canada, and there is no free shipping for us if we're at the higher membership levels. Only the Americans get that. But here's where the interesting part lies, is that shipping is $19.99 US. Doesn't matter how much you order or how little you order, you're just paying $19.99 US for shipping.
Oh. But
they don't tell you how they're going to ship it. So it could be a coin toss. The other thing they don't tell you is we don't know where they're going to ship it from. They could ship it from Iowa. They could ship it from Texas and Flower Mound in the Dallas area. They could ship it from California. You don't know where they're going to ship it from. Now, given that they added all this stuff to Crunchyroll from Right Stuff, right? There's a good chance you could get it from Iowa. Now, the one I did, it came from the old Right Stuff warehouse. And that was because when it was the first day of the sale, there was some manga and manga bundles. One of them was from One Piece. And then there was, actually, they had Orange, the limited edition of Orange, for $10. And I'm like, yes, let's get that. And that's actually cheaper than the Essentials version they put on sale a few days later.
Oh.
And what was hilarious about the whole thing too is, so because it's not like Right Stuff where they have a deal with FedEx and all this other stuff, you have to worry about customs. So that's one thing you may have to worry about is custom charges, depending on how they ship it. So I wasn't sure how this was going to work out. So funny enough, I think it was like October 30th or October 31st. I literally got it shipped to me 2 days later. Like it was 2 days, 3 days later in Canada. But here's the funny thing. So I did get the email responses saying, hey, we got your order. Hey, we've billed you and shipped you and stuff like that. They sent me the invoice twice.
Okay.
But luckily, they only charged me once, thank goodness. But the other thing was on the site, when I went to my order and it was completed, I'm just going to go to it now. But what happened in there is they give me all the things and they gave me like a hyperlink to the tracking number. But above it, they said for shipping, USPS. So I'm like, oh, this is just going to take forever. This is going to take forever because it's USPS. So that's, and then somehow a couple of days later, I see a FedEx truck arrive.
Oh.
And it was FedEx that actually delivered it. So what I found out is when I was checking my last two orders and then the dirty pair thing on the old Right Stuff page, right? Guess what? The Crunchyroll order I did is on there, even though it, you know what I mean? It's weird. It shouldn't be there, right? But somehow they're linked. But you know what happened when I went to the Right Stuff page for my orders? They had the same tracking number, but it said FedEx beside it. It actually sent me to FedEx. It actually was correct. Crunchyroll didn't do anything when I went on their side.
Oh.
But it was interesting. That one was from Grimes. And they did, I've never seen it before, but they properly filled out the documentation. But I didn't get hit with any customs or anything because everything was relatively cheap and they put it as like books and that for the manga. They actually, for the $10 limited edition orange, even though it was a Blu-ray DVD combo, they had said, oh, it's a book, which is kind of funny. So I basically just paid for what I got on sale and then the $20 shipping. But you never know with certain orders, right? Because some people were used to doing big orders to get free shipping. So people probably might not order as much and stuff like that. And then who knows which warehouse it's going to come from.
Well,
who knows?
Big orders as a Canadian because, yeah, you have to pay, but that's just flat 20, right? So that's still...
It doesn't matter where you go. Yeah, you're going to play flat 20, whether you order more or less. So
that's grudgingly acceptable if you make big
orders. Yeah, I was about to say, is that okay? Is that... Yeah, okay. That's
probably... Now, $20 is definitely better than what Right Stuff was because if they did take free shipping away for a bit... And when they did, what we found out is that it was, I think it started like at $25 or something dollars, and then it went up based on weight and stuff like that. So it would increase. But yeah, $20 flat rate with nothing to do with weight or whatever is actually very good for a shipping rate and stuff like that, since it doesn't change either way. But that's the only good thing I can say in relation to that. And then the other flip of the coin and stuff like that is the Right Stuff side. So obviously we'll see what happens with the dirty pair thing. That's probably going to be shipped out hopefully in 2024. But I had two other orders that still have to be shipped and stuff like that from Right Stuff from Iowa. And they have basically started splitting them up and stuff like that and sending them to me. So I got Discotheque releases for October and November. And that was funny because when it came, guess what? You know how like we had the Right Stuff branded boxes and all that other stuff? It was just in a plain box and stuff like that. The packaging was still good. And even actually that Crunchyroll package I got from their holiday sale, since it was from the Iowa store, or warehouse, it was packed the same as it always was, which is really good packing and stuff like that on the inside. And the Crunchyroll one said it was from Crunchyroll. The Right Stuff one on the thing, it still said was from Right Stuff for when I got from Right Stuff. And that was obviously done through FedEx for the way they've always done it. So the deal's probably still going for all their old orders and stuff like that, where basically we had paid the tax and all that other stuff.
Hmm.
But it's interesting to say the least. I think I have a few more stuff coming next week and stuff like that because they had split it up and stuff like that. And now I just have, I think, a couple Sentai Blu-rays or whatever that are from December. But the good thing on the Right Stuff things is it looks like they're still shipping it out when they receive it for those orders. But from what I can see from the Crunchyroll side, I'm not sure they're shipping out early. I think they're waiting for when they actually, the street date hits or something like that, because some people are like, hey, I haven't received my Discotech discs, even though other people had received it and they had ordered it on Right Stuff. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes forward. But I feel like it sounds like from what I've seen so far is if you're ordering on Crunchyroll, it's going to be based on the street date and stuff like that. And the other thing is, I've went into their site today, and it was really weird, to the home entertainment where the Blu-rays and all that are. And it, when you go straight into it, at the moment, all it is Funimation and Crunchyroll stuff. So they somehow their site changed where it's just Funimation, Crunchyroll. You have to actually go to the publisher to get to the other publishers now. So that's a weird thing that happened this week.
Why am I not surprised?
So, and that happened this week. Like, they had Discotech, they had Sentai and all this other stuff all mixed in there. And now it's just Crunchyroll Funimation. You have to go to the left, go to the publisher, and actually select the other publishers to find them and stuff like that. And even Discotech, it's been late for them getting those solicitations and stuff because who knows who they're trying to contact to actually put it on the site and wherever it is going on the site. And the prices, to be honest, they are trying to do what Right Stuff did, but the prices still are higher and stuff like that. They're not like astronomically higher, but they're still higher and stuff like that compared to what we had with discounts and stuff like that we used to get.
Not surprising.
I'll say consolidated, but they haven't really carried that part of the thing forward.
And they have had issues, supposedly, even on some of the things I've heard on the Blu-ray side and all that, of properly putting down the synopsises for series. There's two things that are still, I think, problematic. Like they said they had, was it Bocchi the Rock? And then the other one they had for this recent solicitation, it was Chilling in the 30s after getting fired from the Demon King's army. Both of those are sub-only series on Crunchyroll. And guess what? They said dub and sub on that, even though later on it was confirmed, yeah, it's just subtitle only. They're not going to do a dub for both those, but it still has on the site like it's a dub and a sub.
Seems like a decision was made last minute to cut it.
But I think it's just kind of a mess on that part too. And they are doing other weird things, like I'm sure, Kevin, you heard about the premier Code Geass collection with a chess set and stuff like that for $549. Sorry?
$550 US?
Yeah, it was like $549.98 US, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's pretty pricey.
You know what, that one actually reminded me of that Code Geass set. Since it's like basically $550, it reminded me of the Legend of the Galactic Heroes with Sentai. But you know what the hilarious thing, even though Legend of the Galactic Heroes was way more expensive, I feel like I would have got more content and more value out of that than I would out of the Code Geass, even though I know Code Geass is a great show.
Somebody did the math on Anime News Network's review of the Code Geass set. I think per episode, you're paying a little under $5 US for each episode of Legend of the Galactic Heroes. Whereas this Code Geass release, you're paying more per episode. Or, I guess, per 30 minutes if you factor in the movies, but either way, Legend of the Galactic Heroes was a better deal than this particular Code Geass set. It's just that, you know, we as the consumer had to pay up front that $800 because Tokuma Shoten will be Tokuma Shoten and overvalue their properties. That was clearly them forcing Sentai to do it in that way.
It sounds like, yeah, with the stores and the merging going through the mess that we expected, it's like the other thing as well is the God anime. So anyone who had a God anime, I think they said, obviously it still isn't that expensive. It was like, what were they at? $18 US a year and stuff like that. So obviously they're not giving anyone a discount from that or using it to either move them up a tier, because I know for their tiers for Crunchyroll, like if you're at the regular one, you get a 5% extra discount or something like that. But thing in regards to God Anime was, okay, you can either cancel it, and if you had quite a bit left, they would give you, I guess, some money back or something to that effect if you sent them an email or did something. And so some people decide to say, okay, we'll wait it out, because what their idea was, they would send people these codes, discount codes, if you were a God Anime member. And I'm not sure, I think they were 10% off discount codes and stuff like that, but they had expiration dates of, I think, beginning in November and stuff like that. So I think it was like close to November 10th, maybe November 5th or something like that. So by now they've expired. But what they said was, don't worry, if they've expired, you can just email us back or do whatever, contact us, and we'll send you a new code. So then this gets into the customer service, their great customer service. So people trying to contact them is like trying to throw, I don't know. It's like yelling into the void. I don't know who you're yelling to, but someone said, there was one person that said they actually were able to get in contact after 2 weeks or 3 weeks or what have you, after saying, I need a new code. So they send them this code, this 10% code, because they're a God Anime member or whatever, and followed their instructions. The code they received already expired. It was an old code. So it was about as useful as they thought. And then the funny thing about those codes, because if anything, they had done, like one day they did a 1 day sale, and I think it's like 15% off all their stuff in the store or whatever. On that day, no codes worked, even the 10% God Anime ones. And so they don't have anything saying codes won't work during the sales or during this day. You know what I mean? If they're doing a sale or doing a promotion, which Right Stuff was always clear and upfront. They said, okay, you can't use these codes on this because this is on sale or something like
that. Yeah, it does not qualify for God Anime. No further discounts will be applied, et cetera, et cetera. I remember that.
And then other people said, I've been lucky, obviously. I said I got mine from Iowa. Now, some other people have said they've got stuff from Texas and California, and their mileage has varied based on packing. Sometimes the packing has not been great, to say the least. They said as well, it was, what was it? Like, I'm thinking in my mind, but it just hasn't really worked out that well, how it's getting from point A to point B and stuff like that for them. And when they try to go back to customer service, right, to solve a problem, maybe it's they're missing a disc or something like that. That was one of the things. Them trying to get through the contact form and all that stuff, all they get is the generic thing, thank you for your message, we'll get back to you and stuff like that. And then no one's like getting back to them for days and a week and 2 weeks. And so people have been having tons of customer service. They can't even pick up the phone anymore because they basically got rid of all the people in Iowa who used to do customer service, like live chats and telephone and stuff like that. So they got nothing now. And I bet you 100 to 1 what they were doing on Crunchyroll stores, they farmed it all out. It's probably from some sort of call center, you know what I mean? Customer support center. Yeah. And I don't know what they're doing, but I haven't heard any good things about anyone actually feeling like they reached a live person that solved their problem. And that's not a good thing, since they said, oh, we're all for the fans. We're doing great things. It's like, this is going to help make a better world for all the fans, right? After all these mergers.
Sure it will. Kevin?
Oh, honestly, I don't, it's, none of this surprises me. That's just because
I'm not surprised either. It's just,
yeah.
When you go through the whole process, you're like, man, I've been actually lucky. I've been, got enough, got what I wanted. Everything seems like, but it's every little thing just irks you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I remember Justin Zavakis often used this line when I remember this line in a Discotech presentation. He just said, anime fans are notoriously are very thorough. You if you want to know how you're really doing, just go through the process and then the fans will let you know how you're doing, because they'll do the work. They'll look up every detail. And I think that's what's going on here. Like, we're like, to your point, James, I mean, you're being thorough. And so, and the fans, it sounds like a lot of people who have been browsing the site wanting to buy, they've made themselves known. So like, our fandom are very savvy. They know what they're looking for. They know how to express what they're looking for, and they'll call it out otherwise. And that seems to be a lot of what's going on here.
There's definitely a lot of things in. So on our, when I talked about all what I talked about, that's US and Canada. And then if you add other factors like Europe and other English speaking places, like I haven't heard all the stories on them. Probably they've been looking for other spots to, you know what I mean, get their fix and stuff like that. And even spots like in Europe that used to get in and import the Blu-rays and DVDs and stuff that were from North America and things like that, some of them were actually doing it through Right Stuff and things like that, and they can't do that anymore. So they've like put things on their site and said, well, we can't do it now, and we've tried to work with Crunchyroll, but it sounds like Crunchyroll doesn't want to work with wholesalers outside of US and Canada, it sounds like.
Yeah,
and that's a problem. That's why some people are talking to Discotech and they're asking, are you thinking about doing a store? It's like, they're asking all those other questions, and they're kind of testing the water, seeing, hoping that, I guess, at the moment that they can work through Amazon and through Crunchyroll, however the dice fall on this one, because they're still kind of in the air. But yeah, for them, as they said, it's tough because they're still a small player. You forget that.
Yeah. And then the Canada question for Crunchyroll, I mean, for Discotech always comes up.
But and the yeah, there's enough of us who will try and get them to bug Selby, and then Selby just won't deal with it. So it's just a never ending. We don't know.
Yeah, it's sort of.
Our numbers are small and insignificant. Someone asked about Australia and New Zealand. They were the same answer. Small and insignificant.
Thing is, as I said, the consumers will keep asking. It'll be kind of like Bart and Lisa saying, can we go to Splash Mountain, Dad? Can we go to Splash Mountain, Dad? Can we go to Splash Mountain, Dad?
No, what it's going to have to be is that just a smaller retail will just have to be willing to just stock the stuff, and then they have to actually go out of their way to stock the stuff.
Yeah, it's just the way consolidation.
It's kind of like how the Beguiling will go out of their way to get Faku and J18H manga, whereas no other small retailer will do it, because more often than not, that does involve somebody needing to get the goods from the border.
Well, we had that with
Faku. There's a workaround, but
as you know, it's like you just got to know which places to go that will ship it the right way so it can get across the border, as you said.
Like, that's why
Spy Anime is still working through, and supposedly, did you hear Robert's Corner Store is now going to start stalking J18? They're trying to find new sources.
Not surprised. It's why, like, The Beguiling only gets J18 manga once every 2 or 3 months, because
their last shipment was in July, so who knows when
the next one is. No, Peter told me that the next shipment's coming in soon.
And that's the retail side of pretty much. Okay.
But it was interesting thinking about the retail side too. Like, this one, you would have thought there would have been, like, we knew it was going to be a mess, but you would have thought there would have been maybe a tiny lesson learned when they merged Crunchyroll and the Funimation stores and stuff like that.
Or Funimation service.
Yeah, but obviously, as they said, it was even worse, I think some people said, for that one. But luckily enough, I think I only ordered once from the Funimation store, and that was through proxy, because remember the Escaflowne Kickstarter? They're the ones who shipped that out for me.
Okay. But that's the physical stuff. Okay. Let's start going with some of the other
parts. If you want the old, I'm thinking about for stores, if you want the old Right Stuff experience, speaking of Buy Anime, they've kind of changed their thing again. And now they're looking more like Right Stuff now more than ever and stuff like that. Because they got everything for the general releases and stuff like that, since they got more of that. And now their 18 plus is kind of off to the right side, like Right Stuff used to do, like a separate side. You know what I mean?
I've noticed that too.
I have
to. And obviously, it's way more expensive, but maybe as they grow, maybe they'll be able to offer more discounts to people. But we'll see.
We'll see. But as I said, this is just one part of the issues with Crunchyroll over the last little bit. Okay, what other parts of the whole Crunchyroll experience do we want to talk about right now?
Well, I guess we can talk about the recent one they had said. So they had two announcements. One was an addition, one was a subtraction. So the addition was, they said for their top two tiers, they're going to add Crunchyroll Game Vault and a mobile games for free for, I guess, Apple and Android, that they're going to push out to the top two tiers of their subscribers. And it's going to be through their own site and that. And I think it was mobile games, obviously, but it's interesting that it's not all traditional mobile games, because one of the titles was River City Girls. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes for them, because it's Crunchyroll Mega Fan or Ultimate fans are the ones who can access it, they said. And they said it's going to be a growing free-to-play titles across iOS and Android. So we'll see how that does, since, as we know, sometimes they'll announce with fanfare a great new feature to the site or to the app that they say they're going to support, and then it turns into something like Crunchyroll Manga, which is the other part of the announcement they had this week, which they said, guess what? We're finally going to shut that thing down and take it to the back and shoot it, which they remember announced with so much fanfare many, many years ago, and just let it rot on the vine, I feel.
But it never surprised anybody.
But the manga distribution part of Crunchyroll, that tab and all those manga that are left there, you have till December 11th to read them and stuff like that. And after that, they're gone. And so some people may say, well, why do I care and stuff like that? There are some series on there that are completed, that are digital series only, that Crunchyroll licensed, that are nowhere else. I can tell you that in English. And some of them, like there was Father and Son, which was, I think that one was Square Enix, but I could be wrong. That one was completed. That one I don't think is anywhere else, but it might be on Square Enix as one of their sites. But I do know a lot of the Futabayashi or Futabasha series that were from Manga Action that were on the Crunchyroll site aren't anywhere else. Like Okiten Meru was completed. That was one of theirs. Girl May Kill, that's another one that was completed. Those ones were good. Another one, Silver Nina, that was a good one. And that was completed on Crunchyroll and stuff like that. And so, and the other one was Joshi Kausei. That was the schoolgirl manga where there was actually no words at all. It was just
them high school girls, yeah.
Yep, and they do have that anime on Crunchyroll and stuff like that, but that one is nowhere else from what I know and stuff like that. So it's sad to see those ones go. Like, they won't, you never know. Maybe they'll find a home, but I don't think they will. Maybe if they do, it'll be digitally, but it's going to have, like, for some of them, since they were Futabasha, Futabasha would have to take initiative to, like, find some online spots that would like to take some of these older series and maybe some newer series. And maybe
that was a DR Masters Comics 1 release back in the day.
Yeah, and like maybe even bring some of their other ones. Like the one I'm surprised from Futabasha that they never brought over digitally because it was a longer series and it was on Crunchyroll's and anime is Squid Girl. Squid Girl would have been an interesting one, but never came to be, so that one's on the Seven Seas. But the other ones, if you remember, Kevin, remember they had at one time a lot of the Simulpub Kodansha series, and when they started out, that was great, and we had Space Brothers and stuff like that, and now Space Brothers, we can't get it anywhere. We have to wait for, I think, the actual manga volumes to come out, and they're still releasing them digitally, but it would have been great if there was a place to find it Simulpub, because I'm not sure it's even on K-Manga, to be honest. And there were other series on the Crunchyroll manga part that did get the physical releases or found some other homes, like Inside Mari found a home with Dempa, Orange found a home with Seven Seas, Scum's Wish was to Yen Press and stuff like that. So there were some that were on there that did find homes eventually, which was nice.
Okay.
But was there any you read on there, Kevin, that you remember?
I never really went on the Crunchyroll manga section, so nothing that I can recall, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah, I just... There were some good ones, and then especially the stuff like the Futabasha stuff that they brought over. It was some interesting stuff that we didn't see anywhere else because no one else decided to license it digitally or physically.
Yeah, it's just...
And some of it was different genres, too, so...
It was just something that passed my mind, too. I knew it was there, but just like everything else, it's just... I could never get around to it, and I only had so much time. What do you say is the reason for this one? Like, I mean, sometimes maybe that's playing out in the open, but what would you have observed as a reason for the closure of the service? Like,
well, they killed it themselves by inactivity and stuff like that, and not like putting their full force. Like, it's like they announced it, they really started to give it a push, and then they took their foot off the accelerator and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, it just lost steam and it just kind of dwindled right there until they finally are like, oh yeah, we have this on our site, we should probably do something about it. And it's like, well, we're not going to get these licenses because they probably only last so long, and just said F it, we're just gonna throw it in the trash.
You think it's a matter of them just having spread themselves too thin with all the other stuff they've put their fingers in, or it gotten their hands on, so to speak? Or is it like other services also coming up as well through the years? Is it a bit of
and
both?
Remember when they did do it, this is obviously well before the Sony merger and stuff like that. So obviously they had that push and stuff like that, but I think it finally push came to shove, and obviously Sony obviously has the vision now, and they've been the owner for long enough, and they're running it out of both where Funimation was and Flower Mound, and they're running it out of California, and they probably said, well, this isn't in our wheelhouse, you know what I mean? They want to be about streaming and all that stuff. So it probably finally, when they looked at, they said, this just isn't for us anymore.
Basically, not necessarily a change in priorities, but certainly an examination of what should the priorities be. So then this is not a priority anymore. Really, that's what a lot of what it came down to. You just wonder what type of priority it ever was at points.
That's why it's interesting to see how they're still doing the retail side and stuff like that, and that they bought Right Stuff and all that stuff, and that they're keeping this retail side with the physical. But then you question about the physical. Is it about all the merch and all that stuff? And then they're like, we'll do, I guess, the manga and all that, but leave it to the other players and stuff like that.
Well, I guess doing the retail side is to ensure that they still have their hands on something. Well, I mean, directly or indirectly on their hands on a key part of the ecosystem in that way.
Wow.
What would give them the bigger reach? The retail or the digital manga? Like, how many more people are affected?
So. Probably there's they probably saw the numbers. Like, the numbers are probably dismal at this point. Like, they probably went off a cliff years ago for the numbers on this thing. So it was going to be dead at some point. I'm just surprised it took them this long to shoot it and put it out of its misery.
That is the sentiment. That is the sentiment, I think, from everybody here.
They could have been ahead of everyone. Like, they were one of the first movers, and they could have been the ones and really, like, gunned in, got most of the market share. But then it's like they just gave up halfway through and said, we've done enough. And then it just withered away. And now we're so fragmented on the digital manga side, even though now you have the big companies coming in like Kodansha and all that other stuff.
Well, okay. Then now that you bring it up, like, do you draw a parallel between this service and the way Tokyopop was back in the day? Because they had the potential to get all these titles, and in many respects, they did. And a lot of them were Kodansha titles, both sides. And then at a point, they weren't there anymore. Well, a lot with Kodansha titles, Del Rey had that too. But then, it's just, they didn't have a lot of those titles anymore. They just, like, licenses expired. Kodansha goes out on its own. That's a pair. So, I mean, I can't help but think of Crunchyroll when I hear this story, now that you put it in those terms. Am I being wrong, or is it just a weird perspective to take? Or is there something to, or is there a fair parallel there when we look at the history? But that's just what came to mind, though. And maybe it is a sign of the times. Like, you're right. It's just like it's become digital side has become fragmented. We can debate. We've had those debates as to how the form by which the digital is taken. But it's like everything else, like our streaming video services, everything has just become further and further fragmented. And I guess Crunchyroll just wants to take its position. Not so much on the reading stuff, but on the watching stuff. Sorry, James.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you think it would be a good marriage, so to speak, because it's like, hey, we have our main side, the anime and that, but then you could go back to the source material. They did make those connections with Kodansha, with Square Enix. I said Futabasha as well was another publisher. So you would have thought they'd reach out to even more publishers and stuff like that. Obviously, Shueisha and Shugakukan and stuff like that probably was going to be out of the question because of Viz. But who knows? You never know. Maybe if they had built it enough, they might have been able to make a partnership with them. And then who knows? Maybe the Shonen Jump and then the Manga Plus would have been with Crunchyroll. You never know. But that probably would have been a tall order. But the other thing with the Crunchyroll, remember about the manga, that was a big thing that I liked and a lot of people liked, is it was buffet. It was a la carte. You already were paying your membership. You could go in, you could read those chapters and stuff like that as you went along. Unlike quite a few of the manga apps that are coming in, and it's like, okay, we want you to buy all these keys to unlock chapters, or we want you to do this and that, trying to gamify it. And it just doesn't sit right. I just want to pay one price and be able to have access. You know what I mean? And people are still trying these different models that make no sense. Well, at least from a North American perspective,
That's the key thing. Knowing the type of consumers that exist here. And we've used this line before. What works in some places, a lot of places, may not work here. I mean, that model probably works in a lot of Asia, probably works in Japan. And this is not a saying we're spoiled, like how spoiled North American fandom is. It's just, this is the market. This is what the market has come to expect. So it's just, you have to kind of come to terms with that one. And that's a ongoing process. So I'd like to see what happens next there, but that's Crunchyroll. So that's,
Well, they still had a few other things. Well, I told you about the beginning of the fall season.
Let's get to the core, the streaming service itself. Okay, one or two issues, because I know we're almost an hour in, and I guess we gotta.
We can say the good news we can save after, but the bad news was at the beginning of the season, and that was with the Yuzuki family's four sons. And so this was from Shugakukan, a manga and stuff like that. And it's a fun little series and stuff like that about these four brothers. They're basically living together because their parents had become deceased and stuff like that. And the older brother is like just become a teacher, a high school teacher and stuff. He's trying to take care of his younger brothers and all this stuff. So it's a nice slice of life story and a family story and stuff like that. And it is a smaller title, and that's nice and all. But people, when they went to watch the first episode in the first week of October on Crunchyroll, found that the translation, to say the least, the subtitle quality was garbage. Like, it was absolute trash. Like, it definitely felt like it was AI machine translate. It was almost like people were comparing it to when Manga Plus this year took one of their manga, I forget which one, and was using similar thing, AI for the lettering and stuff like that, and it looked like unintelligible. And even the way things were structured, like with the English language and the subtitles for this anime, just was nonsense. We were looking at nonsense. And people were talking about it like the first day. Like, people were on Twitter, people were sending things to Crunchyroll saying, hey, what's up with these subtitles for the Yuzuki family's four sons? It's like, this makes no sense. And then they did comparisons, because they were actually able to compare it, because guess what? There was another translation out there in English. And was for Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And it was, let me find, where it was Anyone Asia, which is an anime streaming company in Southeast Asia. So they had episode one, so we had those subtitles. Those subtitles were better than the Crunchyroll subtitles for episode one of this series, which is just sad to say the least. And so Crunchyroll and then, I'm not sure what happened at the beginning, but supposedly Anne kept reaching out to them. Then Crunchyroll said, okay, we're going back to the licensor and stuff like that so that we can figure this out. And supposedly by the next week, so it took them a week to get a proper translation of episode one and then get a proper translation from episode two and moving forward for this series, which shouldn't have happened. So depending on how you look at it, either it was the licensor from Japan thinking, okay, this is good enough, we can just use maybe some machine translation or what have you, and just save a buck and just say, because sometimes for Crunchyroll, since they have so many series, right, they don't always use their own translators for everything. So for a small series like this, they might just get a translation from the licensor, right? And so this licensor, for whatever reason, could have saved money and said, oh, here's a good enough translation for you, Crunchyroll. And probably they even had the thing saying, hey, you should use this translation. So maybe their hands were tied. But now with the backlash, they finally, Crunchyroll is able to tell them, hey, you should fix this translation. It's not going to cut the mustard, so to speak. But at the end of the day, it looks, both of them look bad, in my opinion. Like, I think at the end of the day, Crunchyroll should have just said, we're not going to stream this. Like, the quality isn't there. They should have some standards, you know what I mean? For their subtitles, but...
Yeah, but...
And the thing is, we're lucky on this series, but what about the next small series? Maybe there's just not enough fans, and people are like, well, that's just good enough, and then it just stays there forever. Because, as we know, with Crunchyroll, unlike Funimation, they don't update any of their series to the home video version. So for some things, we don't get the full version, so to speak, you know what I mean? Which we've talked about before.
Well, we've talked about at length about translations before too.
So you could have just a garbage translation forever up there if no one makes a stink, right? And that just leaves a bad impression in my mind. It's like, we're lucky for this one, and this series deserved more than what it got on that first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm actually still watching the series. It's a good series. So if you want to watch a nice slice of life series about a family of four brothers, then give it a watch.
Any others come to mind?
For a situation that's happened like this?
Yeah, it's just, as I said, I haven't kept up. I've been hard-pressed to keep up.
That, like, there have been... obviously, other series, like I know for Sentai and High Dive, there have been a few series, and it's been more with how the translator, the human translator, translates something, and people would be back and forth, right? And sometimes they might change a line or something like that, right? But never to this degree where it looks literally probably like it was AI and machine translated, because it just didn't feel like a human translated this, to tell you the honest truth. And you can look at the Twitter thread on this episode one and go to the Anime News Network article, and you can just see it just doesn't feel like an actual person looked this over at any stage. They just kind of threw it out into the wild and hoped that people didn't realize. But if you're just watching, it just takes you out of the show. Like, when I saw it, it took me out of the show. Like, I had to rewatch episode one again just so I could feel like I watched the show and got out of the show what I think a Japanese viewer would have got out of it. You know what I mean? And that's what the subtitles are supposed to do. They're not supposed to make you think, what did I read just there? But now I'm a few lines ahead, and then I'm like, where am I?
Yeah, I guess we can talk about how you're supposed to feel, like the one-to-one, right? Remember I said, you know, what it said and how it makes you feel? What's the one-to-one translation? I've used that line before. And if the feeling you get is confusion, okay, this isn't working. Because that sounds like what happened, James.
And there was one line too, where they're at the door, and it, like, the line repeated, and I don't understand why it repeated. There was actually, even the punctuation was just all over the place. Sometimes there wasn't any periods. It was just, and you never think about it, right? Like, I never think about punctuation when I'm reading subtitles or that, but for some bizarre reason, I thought about that when I was, like, watching that episode the first time, because it was just so all over the place. It's like, these things you take for granted that I guess you're just processing in your head already, right? That you never think about that. But when you see it in a mess like it was, it just all comes to the fore and you're like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah. But bottom line It just doesn't sound like it's at all anywhere one-to-one. Anything. There's nothing in the translation, whether it's words, feelings, etc., is one-to-one. Like, there's no one-to-one at any point here.
And the other thing I would say, too, is, like, even if, and I know this is the type of series for this one, being slice of life and what it is, and I think it's actually in a shoujo manga for Shogakukan. But anyway, for this type of series, it probably would not get a physical release and stuff like that, or a Blu-ray release. But regardless of that fact, even as just a stream-only series, it deserves the same like quality you have for every other series, you know what I mean? Which is a decent translation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking for perfection. I'm just asking for, you know what I mean? Like, a decent translation that most of us can respect, understand, and give us an idea of what's going on.
Yeah. But that's the ugly right now in terms of the streaming side. Okay, what's the good?
Well, yesterday we got Suzume streaming across the world, it sounds like, on Crunchyroll. So that's a good thing. And all the different dubs are on there, it sounds like. And we have all the different subtitles that they had put in theaters, I guess, across the world as well, which is a different feeling, because usually we would wait for the Blu-ray and stuff like that. I'm sure that'll be later next year. But it's interesting to see it up, I feel, this soon on the streaming, because, well, I think Makoto Shinkai would be okay with it, but you know what I mean, how some directors or some creators may not, they would rather they have that theater experience, all that, and maybe they want the physical before they have the streaming release.
It's just the weird way that anime works.
And I feel this is like one of the biggest films in a long time where it got to streaming faster than I thought it was going to get, and it got there before it even got released on
physical.
Now, that's to say, sometimes, obviously, you can have that download to own and those type of things, right? And sometimes those can get out before the physical, but I'm talking more streaming and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Just a point of reference, though. G-Kids has just about everything else concerning Makoto Shinkai, right? Is it, correct me?
No, Your Name is still under Funny Crunchy.
Funny Crunchy as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Your Name, remember?
Oh, so. Yeah, Your Name. Okay.
A lot of the others, yeah, they went to
G-Kids.
But remember, Garden of Words is still with Sentai.
And is there streaming options on a lot of those other titles?
Garden of Words, I know, is on High Dive. The other ones under G-Kids, I can't remember. They probably have it on some other platforms, but I'm not sure which ones. Kevin? They definitely have Download to Own, that's for sure.
Did Crunchyroll lose the rights for Shinkai? Because I know they would do those Shinkai days back in the day.
Well, maybe they could do some special streams in that, but I'm not sure how they structure those contracts. Who knows?
Yeah.
I know they still have the one, remember, the girl and her cat or something like that? That discotheque release? Yeah,
she and her cat?
One. Yep, they have that, I think, still on Crunchyroll.
Okay. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's a short one, so that makes sense.
Yeah, why not?
But like, that voices would make sense, because those are only like 25, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about Suzume when we went to see it in the theater.
I was thinking, are we going to see the Miyazaki movie next month? Is that our next big movie to see?
I'd be down, but I don't think I can quickly get a day off.
Well, it'll be interesting. It's like you can either decide to go see the subtitle version, or you can go see the star-studded English dub. It was interesting to see all the people they got for that dub, that's for sure. Dave should be starring a Miyazaki film.
Yeah, interesting cast. Okay. All right, so that's the bulk of the Crunchyroll talk tonight, but there is a few other things that we'll sort of bring them back into the last parts we'll talk about tonight. So, was it yesterday or the day before, Anime NYC made an announcement about its 2024 edition. It was at, like, Anime NYC is going on this weekend, is it not?
Correct. Yeah, it's going on this weekend, and for all their history, they've done it in November and stuff like that. They might have, I'm not sure if maybe anime, the Big Apple Anime Fest or whatever that was. Yeah, I think that was never tied with Anime NYC, yeah, but I know it was tied to the New York Comic Con. So they were kind of in the same zone too, like October, November.
Mm-hmm. And the announcement this week, or the announcement last night, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was the day before the con began, which was today. But that was interesting. So they said next year, instead of doing it in November, they're going to move it up in the calendar to August 23rd to 25th, which is an interesting weekend.
Yeah, it's Fan Expo Canada weekend. That's what it is.
And that means competition, as they say, for anime guests and probably even Crunchyroll themselves, right? Because remember, we were talking a few episodes ago about, oh, it's like Fan Expo wants to like bring the anime fans back. They brought Crunchyroll back this year, and they had that big Jujutsu Kaisen experience, right? And they put on a big booth. They did everything. So it's like, would they do the same thing again if they want? Because they would probably prioritize Anime NYC over Fan Expo if they had to choose putting a big booth together between one or the other, I think.
Well, they're a presenting sponsor, are they not? So, yeah, this is the date is interesting. And I guess, you know, I'm just letting this settle. We can talk about, you know, both will get their people. Both will get their fans. Maybe different types of fandoms, but they'll get to their people. So it's a wash in that sense. No one's that's not where the fight is.
And the interesting thing is, they said, is I think this is, they want to grow this convention and stuff like that, because I guess they never had the Javits Center that they're in. They weren't taking all of it. And they said for this event, for the August 23rd to 25th event, they're going to take over the full main building of this convention center for the first time and stuff like that. So it sounds like they're definitely going big for this next convention. So that means competition for guests, competition for companies and stuff like that, and people who want to go to a convention, right? And that's on the guest side, not on the people side.
Yeah.
Or attendee side.
No, that's where, and that's going to be the story, I guess, for over the next, 9 months now? Before both happen again? So, but as I said, they'll get their people and they'll get their guests. There'll be different types of guests that'll cater to those people. But, I get the feeling we may have a one and done for Fan Expo Canada with the return of anime now, or whatever that return was.
Well, they'll still get, as we said, they'll still get their people and stuff like that, and they'll definitely get some big people in different areas and stuff like that, right? Like mm-hmm. they always have. So we'll see how that plays out.
Back at work. So anyway. Yeah, that's part of that story. But there you go. There's everything concerning Crunchyroll over the last little bit, and maybe some of the other stuff. But that's just
actually, it's funny. They were announcing. It's interesting how they do it now with these conventions. How they announce all the different streaming shows like coming up in the next year and stuff like that, instead of us announcing and predicting what animes they're going to announce for physical release and stuff like that. And remember, I told you, Mike, Crunchyroll got a big one for next year for a sequel that used to be with Netflix, and that was Great Pretender, because Studio Wit and them are at Anime NYC, and they're showing off, I guess, a teaser and a few of these other things, and they're calling it Great Pretender Resbuilto or something like that, but it's the Great Pretender sequel. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes next year, and that'll be on Crunchyroll because of where it's airing in Japan and stuff like that. It's part of a block that I guess Crunchyroll has access to, so they got it before Netflix.
Yeah, it's just interesting, and Netflix is still doing their other stuff too.
Thinking of Netflix, I know last month people were talking about Pluto, so supposedly they are still putting out quality products, so that'll be interesting.
Pluto, we've talked about One Piece. Scott Pilgrim came out today,
Oh, was it today? I forgot. I knew it was this month.
It was today. And
they got all the movie cast, I know, for that, for the English side. So,
and a trailer for the live-action Yu Yu Hakusho is also out there. So don't feel too bad for Netflix. I don't think anybody does, but, you know, they have their stuff. And I know if Mo made it tonight, we'd probably talk a little bit more about Yu Yu Hakusho and other stuff on Netflix. But hey, we talked about a lot tonight, though. Before we go this evening, also, just a quick thought. Japan Foundation, James, we haven't talked about the online discussions that the Japan Foundation had done since the pandemic. Those have been ongoing, although a little bit more sporadic than they had been during the pandemic. And
it depends on which Japan Foundation, right? Because remember, some of the ones we were watching and had talked about before were from the States, sometimes from the New York City area, sometimes from Texas and stuff like that. So from different, they've all had different good online seminars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But this one's from Toronto, the one you want to talk about, right? That's coming up at the end of this month.
That's at the end of the month, and it's about video games.
Yeah, so it's on November 27th, and depending on when we get this up, hopefully you might be able to still register, and it's on the 27th of November, the Monday, I think from 7 to 8 p.m., or that's what it sounds like, and it's Japanese video games and the mediation of trauma is what they are talking about.
You know, an old friend, Amy Shirong Liu, remember in version one, we talked about her and her thoughts on anime, but I've kept in touch with Amy over the years, and I know she's taken great interest in the way, in terms of video games and clinical studies, and this would be something, I think, more up her alley, but you know, maybe as things draw a little closer, we'll, because this one has my attention, and all the stuff that Japan Foundation does, whether it is Toronto or New York or the group that does things out of Texas, and that's the one that I think Matt Alt did a few times over. They're always interesting and gives you a different perspective on our fandom, and this is the intelligent, and this is another type of intelligent discussion. So if you have the chance to see them, and I presume there'll be a YouTube video at some point afterwards, they're always worth checking out. And I know there's so many such videos have happened in the months, and I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I guess we should try and put a link if I remember to, along with updating everything else. But always worth a checkout. Okay. I think we've hit all the notes for this late Friday night. By the way, I forgot to mention the date at the beginning of the episode, didn't I? So that's for Friday
night. I hate to tell you, but the date's already changed. Saturday.
I know. We started on Friday, late Friday night, November 17th, 2023. We're into Saturday now. But that's... as I said, that's sort of how it is when you kind of throw things together and are just in a tizzy after getting home from work.
God, I could always help you there and get maybe Kevin into the conversation. I was going to say, Kevin, a good thing from Crunchyroll, Daigo. Have you watched any Daigo since it started up in October?
I actually have.
So I have to tell my story and see how Kevin feels about it.
Okay, so before we go tonight, yeah.
So interesting part on the Daigo thing. Watching episode one, I was correct in my feelings when we watched it at the Anime Toronto convention there, Kevin. That yeah, we knew where the opening and ending was going to be slotted in, where the eye catches were going to be slotted in, and they put them in there. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was when we finally get to Daigo, and then the other fella, where they go on their first mission together and stuff like that is the elite firefighter training unit. And that was a double episode. I think that was 3 and 4, I believe. But anyway, there were some funny moments in there. One was the rescue. So they actually show this. And so we had a ramen chef. And so the building is just burning down. Everyone is out of the building. And just as the ramen chef is coming out, he decides to go all Florida man and says, no, I'm going back into that burning building to go and get my like family recipe, this to like concoction. Yeah, the soup. And you're just like, really? And this costs him like a rebar through the arm as something falls on him.
Yeah.
Like a metal piece of ceiling or whatever. Like, and so they have to go and rescue him.
Goes through his hand or his arm. It took them so much effort to rescue him. Oh yeah, Daigo spoilers, by the way.
And the rescue was the hilarious part between Daigo. So at the end of that episode for the rescue, you see Daigo go up to the guy leading the team, which was the guy training them originally in episode one. And he's kind of like, I got this. I know what I'm going to do. And he's like, basically goes full on Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon, and basically dislocates his arm so that he can fit under this massive part that had fallen from the roof or whatever to get to the chef to cut this metal rod so that they can get him out safely and stuff like that.
Oh man, I saw that coming too.
He goes under, it's like, well, how is he going to cut him when he's already like dislocated one of his arms? Yeah. Well, he decides to go Mel Gibson again and say, don't worry, I can just pop it back in. I'm just going to hit it against the concrete and just pop it back in. No problem, which he does, and is able to then cut the metal rod and get the fella safely out. And there were some other moments in there that were hilarious and crazy in there, but those were the ones that just were like, I know there was some seriousness, but it made me laugh more than anything else. And I wasn't sure if that made you like just say, Kevin, because that was definitely entertaining in not the serious way, but the funny way.
Yeah, it's honestly seeing the, how can we get in? It's like, oh, like I already kind of had a feeling and I was right. And you know, that's Daigo. Daigo in the original manga, as in like not the spinoff, but the first one, I don't recall him doing anything that drastic with his own body, but
yeah, because from what I remember kind of the original, I don't Daigo think it do. Was that over the top from what I remember, right, Kevin? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the spinoff's a little more over the top.
The way they show it in this anime is not over the top. It's just the fact that he would just think of this is like, oh, okay. But the thing with Daigo is that I do feel like it's taking a more serious tone than the first Daigo, which is fine.
Mm.
I do have some issue with the pacing. They are going at a more deliberately slow pace because sometimes you don't even get to the opening sequence until maybe 3 to 4 minutes in, or sometimes even 5 to 6 minutes in.
And that's one of the things is they do a lot of recaps at the beginning. I noticed that, and that's every episode.
Yes, it begins with episode 2, and sometimes they continue the recap even after the opening sequence. So then you'll have gone through 6 minutes of recap, and I think to myself, is there really not that much manga content? Who knows? And apparently this will be a 24-episode series, too.
Oh, so it is 2 cores. I thought it was just the 1, so that's interesting.
If I'm not mistaken, it's 2 core. I had looked this up maybe a week or so ago when I was trying to do a Daigo catch-up, because I'm currently 2 episodes behind. I will be 3 episode come morning, but I've been watching it in batches.
Okay, I'm 1 episode behind, but yeah.
Oh yeah, and I actually have a friend to help me watch it with too. That's what's been helping me. I probably would have been further behind otherwise, because my friend was willing to do it, even though he wasn't initially interested.
Yeah.
But in essence, you got up to the second part. You finished up to the second part of that two-parter that I talked about, it sounds like.
Yeah, I got to like episode... I think that's episode four.
Yeah, four or five, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say four.
Probably four, yeah.
Oh, I got to five, actually.
Okay.
I got to five.
All right.
But, yeah, like, I still like it, and I intend to follow through with it. But I will admit that this slowish pace is kind of tempering some of the enjoyment. But because I just love this franchise so much, mostly because of the first Daigo, I'm willing to see it through.
But yeah, no, it's true. There's definitely some seriousness to it. But then there's these wild moments kind of, as I said, before that, just kind of are like, well, that's interesting take on stuff like that, but we'll see as it goes.
I'm just worried that the pace will kind of kill the enthusiasm for other viewers, because like, you know, they train for like two or three episodes, and like it's sort of interesting, but it's just that, you know, there's no real stakes because it was a demonstration. And mm-hmm. then, in this case, with the first real mission that Shun and Daigo get, it wasn't a fire-based operation, which is fine. Because, you know, they are orange. They also do rescue cases as well. But
okay.
I'm hoping that they're going to up the ante a little more. And I think they will. It's just, it'll take a little while for us to get there because of the pacing. And just to quickly double check, yes, it's at least my anime list says it's going to be 24 episodes.
Okay. I guess the thing in my mind too is like, they do, as you said, have those little recaps at the beginning and stuff like that, and it can kill the pacing to a degree, but I guess the reason it isn't a deal breaker for me is I think about One Piece and other long shonen series and all that stuff where you have some of those where it's not just the recap episodes, but sometimes you'll have recap in certain episodes, whether it's the end, the beginning, and all that stuff, and it feels even longer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah, you never know. For me...
A genre, yeah. Maybe if it's not the genre for them, you're right. Maybe that might hurt it, right? If they have too much recap at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I should take a look. It's just, as I said, my queue, it's so long, it's not even funny anymore.
But I'll rewatch it with you.
At some point, yeah. Well, let's
see. And the good thing was we got a good translation or a translation that we could respect with it too, which is nice.
Okay, so at least it's watchable. The translation is readable.
We can set this up on a day off, Mike.
Yeah, well, as I said, lots of other stuff to do. Lots of other stuff to catch up on. But give us some time to do that. And at least we got a chance to get in an episode under these new, my own new schedule. It's just nice to be able to do something tonight.
Like, so, I'll be honest, because I've started falling into the VTuber hole, I haven't been reading or consuming as much media lately.
Yeah. Kevin brought this up actually in the Space Heater a couple weeks ago, James. Yeah. He's actually started to watch a few more VTubers and streamers. But and he's missing something major now.
I hear there's like a controversy in the VTuber community about a certain, I guess, VTuber award show or something like that. That's what I heard last.
Oh, yeah. So,
okay.
Well, I don't know all the details. So I actually don't know what this controversy is. Like,
so read up on it. And
all I know is that Fillion, who is a popular VTuber that's affiliated with Mythic Talent, wanted to do an award show for VTubers. So, mm-hmm. Her and Mythic Talent, which is they're not a traditional agency, so to speak. They basically help, from what I understand, they help independent streamers with like promotions and like other support, but they're still deemed as independent.
Go figure.
So it's not like a traditional VTuber agency like Hololive or Nijisanji, where they just own you outright. They own your model and your assets outright.
Mm.
And I think when you run, this is with like the Crunchyroll Awards, right? Where when you run a award show, but you allow the fans to vote, it doesn't become a real award show. It just becomes a like Teen Choice Awards kind of show.
Popularity contest.
It's like a fan award show, which is fine, but then like there's no governing body to properly critique these VTubers the same way as, say, the Academy Awards or the Grammys.
It's early days.
That's just my thoughts on it. I don't know what the real controversy would be, though.
Just imagine, Kevin, if you had people in their 60s, 50s, or 40s trying to parse a VTuber and then give them an award, so to speak. That would be interesting.
You know, it's funny because, like, I'm trying not to get too hooked into this. I'm very, very cognizant of what I do in these streams and like who I watch, what I watch. Certain people I'm trying not to follow on purpose, even though I enjoy their content. Also, yeah. Just like trying to discover like smaller streamers, because you'll always see the pretty popular ones pop up depending on who you end up choosing to follow, or maybe if you get raided into another person's stream after the initial stream ends from the person you're watching. It's an interesting little ecosystem, I'll say that much. And the ways that some of these VTubers try and make their money, it's pretty fascinating, because you then get into the whole parasocial element of watching these people, and you see, and it's like, it's just interesting to see how some people can just get so dedicated into wanting to support someone that they don't truly know. They know them, but they don't really know them.
No kidding.
To the point where you would give these people like hundreds of dollars through donations or through bits or through gifting subscriptions to other people.
Still, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, having casually watched my share over time.
Or even, and I think a lot of it comes through in a more honest way for most. Although there are some people where I think, oh, they're really trying to.
Yeah, but you know what human nature is.
They're really trying to get some straight males to toss money at them too.
Yeah.
I don't want to say they're conniving or like they're like devious, but you know.
You're saying they should be on OnlyFans there, Kevin?
Some of them are.
And on that note, I think that seems like a good place to end, doesn't it?
Huh. And you know what, though? Like, I don't fault them for trying to make a living.
See.
Because it works.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, is it not?
Like, yeah, for me, I'm very, like, you know, I'm the type to not want to gift subs or in that way, but I'm the type where, like, if I want to support someone, I'll actually buy merchandise. Yeah, I like to have something tangible if I want to support someone. That's how I've always been.
Yeah, I think that's where I am on those things too. Okay. But let's keep it's fascinating because that's sort of how entertainment has gone in the digital age too. Like this is part of it. This is part of where, like, the digital age isn't just substitutes for our traditional forms of entertainment and the way we consume things. Like, yeah, a new way, it's something like new things are popping up. Like, this is new. This is new.
Like, for me, I initially was only using Twitch to follow friends who are streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 8 times out of 10, if my friends are streaming, I'll ditch the big corporate VTuber or streamer. And I'll just go straight to my friends. And I also have found some somewhat smaller communities that have really made me feel welcome and, like, I can tell these people really care and that they really have, like, fostered a very strong community. And even if they're not on the same level as, like, a Shoujo VTuber or another very popular independent streamer.
Yeah. Well, maybe when we start streaming, come on and hang out, okay? Or whatever.
Yeah, I found my favorites. You know, I'd be down to stream. We just need to, like, figure it all out.
Yeah. Well, most of it is just hanging out and chatting and maybe watching each other play video games. That could be about it. But let's have a little
fun. There are people who do that.
Yeah. Let's just start to have some fun with that in the future. Maybe that's our future, too. Who knows? But let's keep it our way, okay? But you know what? It's late. So let's call it an episode and say that's all we got for tonight. So once again, we'll put up the contacts, animeroundtable@gmail.com, or socials @animeroundtable, animeroundtable.com. Hopefully all of those will be updated. And hopefully we'll actually put something on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/animeroundtable, or on our YouTube channel. Yeah, sooner or later. As for the podcast side, please leave us a review if you can on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, because, you know, why not? Good reviews, right, Kevin? Always helps.
You bet. 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, whatever star. Like,
yep.
Honestly, it's good to know that people watch us. In any capacity, or view us in any capacity.
Yeah,
whatever we put out.
Yeah, it would be nice to know, but, you know, whatever. I mean, we'll just keep going anyway. I mean, we did meet quota this month. Who knows? We might be able to put up a third recording before the end of the month. It is 12 days to go. But in any event,
we'll see.
Yep. In any event, please give us a subscribe, like, or follow on any of the platforms we're on so you can be notified when we're on there. Also, once again, if you have a Spotify account, please check out the Anime Roundtable playlist for a list of music based on the things we mention on this show. The theme song is entitled Fubuki Snowstorm by Piko Misaki. You can check out more of her music at picoinfinity.com or on Facebook at Piko Zen Music. You could have listened to any anime podcast in the world, but you decide to listen to one of the oldest ones. And we really appreciate it. So until next time, thanks for listening. Good night from Toronto, and join us again for another edition of the Anime Roundtable.